The following is a Journey into Comics Network production.
Hey guys, Dick here from Podcastrophy Podcast, and you are listening to the best of the Journey into Comics Network, where we take the best of each episode from the week, and we highlight it for you and bring it to you in the form of this podcast today. So, if you want, just take a breather, relax, listen to the best of the Journey into Comics Network. And, you know, just do me a favor. Just do me one solid favor. Try to make every day a big dick day. Thanks, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Journey into Comics 179, if you will. I'm one of your hosts, Brando, joining me here today, the podfather, the OG of GIC. Nate, how's it going?
Good morning, bro. How are you?
It's going pretty good over here, my friend, on this very it's not bleak, it's not rainy. It's just a very non-sunny day on this Saturday morning. In fact, now it is in my time. It is because I'm future tripping because we are not on the same time zone. It is now the afternoon for me. So good afternoon, everybody. Today here on the show, we're going to be having quite of an amalgamation of different things here for you. We're going to be talking about some news and views and some articles. We're going to be looking at The Walking Dead 176. And, of course, we have a sneak preview for a show coming up this Friday on Nate's show, Voice of Survival, featuring the heir of Batman, or the heiress of Batman.
Yeah.
Like what's her official title?
She's the heir of Batman, and it's really ridiculous.
The one and only Athena Finger is going to be on The Voice of Survival. She's the granddaughter of Bill Finger, the co-creator of Batman. Awesome Hulu documentary. Go check that documentary out if you have not heard or seen of that. Batman and Bill, please go check that out. She's going to be on The Voice of Survival this Friday. We're going to have a little, nice little clip right in the middle of the show because that's almost going to be like the bridge, man. It's going to be like we're going to be talking, we're going to be telling you about some cool stuff that's kind of going on right now and some topical news. And then we're going to take like a little break. You're going to hear a sneak peek from the show on this Friday to get you guys to go check that out. And then we're going to come back to you towards the end of the show, which we haven't seen it yet. And that's why it's going to be like kind of broken up. But we are going to be talking about Black Panther. And now, I probably won't be a part of that due to timing. It's kind of weird. We're having some stuff going on this weekend. And after the movie, I kind of have to go dip and pick up the kid, unfortunately. So I won't be able to give you my breaking thoughts on Black Panther. But Nate is going to be joined by who knows? Because
this is kind of like Talking Dead. I have a bunch of surprise guests who don't even know they're going to be on yet. You know, like we're going to figure that out Sunday after the movie. Like, okay. Everybody, this is supposed to be a think piece where we're all going to have things to say. Who wants to say it on a podcast? Like, let's get it going, you know? Like, so, and there's a lot going on between now and then too, because we're also having the first ever network meeting, and that's going to be recorded. Who knows if that sees the light of day or if anybody gets a hold of that, but, there's a lot going on this weekend, Brando.
So the whole mystery guest thing, I hope that it doesn't turn out to where like these other fellow network creators, these podcast hosts that we have like on the network who might be showing up there that don't know if they're showing up. Hopefully none of them are killed off the network.
Oh, no.
A little bit of a Talking Dead joke, because anytime there's a mystery guest, somebody going to die.
It's true. That's the case. It's like, so how was your Journey into Comics Network experience? Random mystery guest, They're like, oh,
I didn't know I was getting killed off today.
And then Scott Gimple just tapped me on the shoulder and he's like, it's your time, kid.
Right on, man, right on. Well, let's just go right into The Walking Dead. We read Walking Dead 176. Of course, the issue's been out for about a week or two now.
And yeah, roughly week and a half.
Of course, last week I wasn't on the show, guys. I had a bout with like a stomach bug, man. I was here alone with the kid on Saturday. The wife went over to Ohio for a photo shoot. I'm hanging out. I ate lunch and I started feeling like crap. And I remember, you know, I got my whole new vinyl set up. I got my record player, got my vinyl stuff on the floor. And I'm like, I'm going to go back. I'm gonna chill out, hang out in the game room, put some records on, test this thing out, and then I'm just gonna go take a nap. I took a nap and got him up, and then I just like vommed all over the place and like felt like complete crap. So Unfortunately, I wasn't on the show last week. I am feeling a lot better, and I am here and ready to really dive into this to this comic issue, because this is, you know, picking up the story right after the the big cliffhanger, if you will, with Michonne and her daughter
Elodie.
So Eugene and the gang, and you know, Michonne and Siddick and all these folks, they show up at the Commonwealth, and they're getting let in. They have this big wall of the mist, wall of the lost. And it's like, have you seen this person? And, well, Michonne sees her picture on there, and it's, you know, from her daughter, and her daughter's there. And, well, they kind of draw it out because we don't get to find her right away, of course. The dude who, like, welcomed them in and, like, kind of interviewed them, he's kind of a dick.
He's the worst. I really don't like that. Is his name Steve, I think? I feel like he's Steve something or Steven something.
Yeah,
like he had a real kind of like a real proper white boy name. But I feel like secretly he's underlying like that, like he's the villain of this whole thing, and that's where things are going to turn on its head, because, and we'll talk about it in this issue, there's a lot of little things subversively he says that seems like he's got a kind of like a real tight leash on everybody. He has the tight leash on everybody, no one else but him, and that's weird to me. But yeah, he seems like a dick. He's leading them in, and Michonne, as soon as she sees the picture of herself, have you seen my mom? Michonne's pretty unmistakable, and it's pretty easy to see yourself in a picture and go, it's fucking me, holy shit. So she's like, hey, my fucking daughter's here, you lead me there now, no questions. And he's like, that's not at all how this works. I'm going to take you somewhere who... from there, you might be able to find your daughter, but the process doesn't work like that. We got to do some checks and balances. They get introduced to Milton Hawkins is the first new guy they're introduced to, and he's kind of like the middleman to the governor, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of introduces...
Not the governor... Not the old governor.
No, correct. We'll correct
the governor of the Commonwealth.
Thank you. The governor, her name is Pamela...
Governor Milton?
Yeah, Pamela Milton. Thank you. Yeah, so Pam Milton is the Commonwealth's governor. And it's interesting to me that everything seems really, like, official. It's so different. It's not like anything we've seen in the world since we've been in this world. Everything kind of feels how it used to be. They get led into the office, and of course, not everybody gets led into. They pick one representative to discuss, and they pick it in a very interesting way by going through and saying, what did you do before? What was your job before all this shit went down? Like, what was your, what part of the machine were you? Because that is a theme that we get into later in this when Pamela is talking to Michonne, because Michonne gets chosen. She was a lawyer. She was going to make partner. She had just made partner, actually, right when this shit all broke out. So she's like the representative. And I love that Michonne's in the middle of the conversation with Pamela says, I'm interviewing and auditioning you just as much as you're interviewing and auditioning me. Like, this isn't just, oh, we're going to join your group, no fucking questions asked. Like, we've been through this shit before, my friend. We don't trust nobody. Like, I don't care how nice it looks here. I don't care how 50,000 fucking people strong you are. You know? It's really interesting in this issue how it kind of went really fast. There's not a ton of stuff that happens, but this book is so impactful. There's several first appearances. Also mentioned, officially, first appearance of Stephanie happens in this book.
Yeah, first actual panel, visual, you know, representation of Stephanie. We also get a lot of really big, like, big long...
splash pages of...
Yeah, like the just of scenery, of showing you... what is on the inside of the Commonwealth, getting you, like, letting you know, like, this is a whole community of 50,000 people.
Man. It's crazy because, like, we talked about previously, like, they're having, sports games and shit. It's interesting to note, also, in this issue, aside from one tiny line, Princess doesn't have a whole lot to do. she says like she worked at a cafe and retail jobs here and there, but that's pretty much her only thing here. Magna has a couple different things because Magna's trying to be like, Michonne, you can't overreact in the first part of the book. And then, of course, you know, whatever. So Pamela and Michonne are having this conversation, and Michonne's just kind of fed up with it because it's not really moving as fast as she wants it to, because what, of course, does she have on her mind is like, I might see my daughter who I thought was definitely dead, like no questions. So she's like, look, I kind of ran out of patience here, and typically I would have just kind of like let this play out, but this is the fucking fact, lady. If you want me to join the Commonwealth, if you want me to believe in what you have going on here, take me to my daughter. And immediately Pamela's like, whoa, you're a mom and that's what's going on and you've been this calm? I can't even say kudos enough to you because you have maintained your composure way the fuck better than I would as a mother, knowing what you know she knows. So Pamela marches her right to the bakery, Brando. And that was like a really awesome, crazy, like last couple of pages of the book, I thought. From the suburbs of Chicago and Illinois, this is The Poor Report with your host, Andrew Poor.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 25 of The Poor Report. As always, I am your host, Andrew Poor, and I want to thank you guys for checking out the show again and again. It's been a real honor to get to this milestone, which is 25. I know I've been rolling out a lot of things recently in prep for this milestone of an episode. If you've paid any attention, you've noticed that yesterday on the Journey into Comics podcast, right before the intro started, you saw the bumper for my show moving forward, which involved fake news and Donald Trump, which is always a good way to get attention. And then you've noticed that right before I started talking, there was my updated intro, which was put together by my friend and podfather, Nate Phillips of JIC, and co-vice president of the Journey into Comics Network, which I've been proud to be a part of for going on 6 months now. We had a board meeting over the weekend, so got a lot of exciting things to share in due time. But yeah, things are going really well from the podcast side of things. I know with episode 25, and really starting with episode 20, I unveiled the Poor Four segment, which is how I'm going to take the show forward, which involves four news topics, either a specific article or a big chunk of a topic. Like I've run into a lot lately is that I could easily have four separate news articles that I want to talk about that are all about Donald Trump, but it doesn't do justice to the Poor Four, so it's Donald Trump himself can just be one of the topics that I can get through all of those. And the other thing I wanted to try and get out of the Poor Four is to limit the size of the episode. I know, if you're anything like me, sometimes you have podcasts that you listen to 5 or 6 or 7 that all are an hour and a half long, and you don't have just have that kind of time in a week. So I've been trying to limit the episode to 30 to 40 minutes. At least that's what I intended to, but the last few episodes have been a little longer than that, which is unfortunate, and I apologize. But sometimes there's just really big news weeks that you can't condense down to a nice bite-sized chunk, which is what I've been hoping to do. So I'm going to try and keep this episode today 30 minutes. That's why I'm holding back on about 4 pages of notes I wanted to discuss, and that'll just be a big topic next week on episode 26. And really, another thing that I added was back in, I think, 2 episodes ago, I brought out The Poor Retour, which is a new segment where I rant and rave about something that I think is ridiculous and that shouldn't be something that I should even have to report on. It should be obvious. I know I talked about people eating Tide Pods, and I've talked about people bringing fake emotional support animals onto airplanes and causing all sorts of chaos and problems, and how just because you love your animal doesn't mean you should be able to bring it with you on an airplane. I don't want to get into it again. If you want to listen to the last week's episode if you want to hear me talk about that. And yeah, this is a new show focusing on current news and political news and government news and sometimes international news, depending on what's going on. It's all relatively late breaking because, like the majority of my show, it records on Monday nights for the show when it drops on Tuesday. So it's most of the time it's late breaking stuff that some shows that record on the weekend or the end of the week before don't get to talk about. Like if something happens Monday at 4 o'clock, if it's big, I'll probably be talking about it that you'll listen to it the next morning. And sometimes doing a show that way sometimes can throw your whole plans into disarray, which is kind of how we end up getting with episodes like this, which is going to have one overarching topic. I'm not going to do a pour for a pour retour segment this week. I'll be going back to that next week. It just felt disingenuous to what we're going to be talking about later, and I'll get into that shortly. But I don't want to get into that because I know it's going to be a hard topic and it's going to make a very somber tone. So I just kind of want to talk about what else has been going on lately before I get into that. In honor of episode 25, I really want to give a special thanks to everyone on the JIC network, Nate, Brandon, everyone else across all the shows. They're not all just shows that I like. There's definitely shows that I really love the people that do them. And I love the fact that in a social media driven age that we're in right now, I'm able to communicate to these people on a random Tuesday morning, just shoot a message to the group and I can get a dozen responses back and get a nice conversation going, enough so that sometimes you end up bothering someone at work and they get 30 notifications and have to mute the Facebook feed. And it's one thing that I feel like if I was on a show that really wasn't a part of a network or a network like this, it would be hard to do it week in, week out. It feels so isolated, but being a part of a network, and especially a network that is as fun and as motivated as the Journey into Comics network, even though my show doesn't have a whole lot to do with comics or with, I guess maybe a journey, it could almost be a Journey into Politics show or Journey into Government or News, but being a part of this network and being part of people that I know and I've worked with personally, because I know sometimes you get involved with a network that you've never seen any of these people in person, they may have a similar content that you, but this network has been great and given the opportunities to really expand the show and have the kind of support group that really makes this show great. So I really want to thank everyone on the network, and I'm really glad you've been with me for the past 6 months as we've gotten this show off the ground. And
the champ is here!
Do I have everybody's attention now?
When I say I don't mind Trump being in, I'm saying that
he's at least done something with wrestling.
Well, at least he was doing something, because, like, you get Arnold Schwarzenegger, who I love. I love Schwarzenegger. He's appeared twice on television for them as a guest, just promoting a movie.
That doesn't really make him a Hall of Famer. No. And I get you want to honorarily have these, like, stars in your thing.
Well, they partnered with Arnold to do, like the Arnold Classic stuff and all that kind of stuff. So I mean, he's worked with them in other ways, but not like, you know, I mean, Trump had fun and he participated. They came to him and they're like, hey, you know, we'd like to see what you think about taking a stunner. And his guys are like, no, absolutely not. And then Trump's like, what do you do? Like, and they're like, well, he's going to kind of kick you here and then he's going to take you down. He goes, cool, let's do it. Let's have fun. And so Trump got stunned. It looked awful. But,
it did look awful.
But I mean,
he also shaved McMahon's head.
Yeah. But I mean, like, they're like, and despite of, like, I'll put all the political bullshit aside.
Yeah.
He did something.
Yeah.
And he gave. The person who I heard is going in has given nothing.
Mike Adamley.
Number one, he's not a celebrity.
You're right. I'm just...
Number two, he has given more than this person.
He would have went to the Hall of Fame because he would have said it wrong. That's great. Or the Hall of Fame. He went to the Hall of Fame.
That's where Jeff Harvey is.
The first inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame, Jeff Harvey. I don't know if we do. We have much Hall of Fame talk left.
I still haven't told you who's.
Oh yeah, there's all this suspense.
We keep building it up, man.
Okay, tell me.
Kid Rock.
No. Brando. That might be the end of me watching WWE for a while. Like on strike style, because that can't happen. He's done nothing. He's played American Badass a couple times for Taker's theme or some shit. That doesn't even hardly count.
Guess what the theme song is. Guess who plays the theme song for this year's Mania.
Are you going to say Kid Rock?
Yeah, I believe it's Kid Rock. It's like some, it's some Mardi Gras party theme from New Orleans.
Party Gras?
Party Gras. Oh, hey, look at you.
Yeah.
Look at this big brain on Brett.
Yes, Pulp Fiction reference. Say what again? What? You can envision what I'm thinking. Say what again? What? I dare you. What? I double dog. What? Oh my God. They speak English and what? What? What ain't no country I ever heard of? Oh. Oh, that one got that one got. My vote is no for Kid Rock.
I, you know what?
Heard it here first, folks.
I don't want him, but let him do, like, let him do their thing. I don't care. Let him be like, yeah, and then it's like,
he is American Flabass.
Oh my God. Oh.
Oh, there it is. I could not locate my telephone.
But definitely. Well, hopefully you're not plugging it into the power strip.
I ain't fucking touching that sumbitch. Stay the fuck away from that. Oh, man. Brando, there is a little bit of news on the indie circuit I wanted to quickly discuss. Bullet Club, they're in heat. A lot of shit going on. Moving their way towards All In September 1st. Also, July. I wanted to remember this. I didn't say this last time on the podcast, but I remembered this time. Funko Pops in July. Bullet Club will have them.
Really? That's cool.
Yes. I am going to have to own them all. Like, really. To have a Cody Pop and have a fucking pair of Young Bucks Pops. Like, if they're a two-pack... You know, like,
I like how we have no visual representation of what you just went through right there.
They don't want the visual representation of what I just did.
If our listeners have stayed with us for this long through this slap happy, giggly gag fest of a podcast, that at the very least sounds more professional, if not an actually better show than the last time, then that will probably make them turn it off. Because they're like, what the heck is it? Like, dude, if they have a double pack of the Young Bucks, and then you made this guttural, like, like, what does that even mean?
That's like the painful...
Painful orgasms?
The shameful finish, yeah.
Like, why does anybody have painful orgasms?
Not painful, shameful. Not painful, shameful. They're different.
Oh, geez, I came. Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, like, you know.
And, like...
You ever feel, like, really disgusted with yourself after you masturbate?
No.
Never?
No.
You've never just been like, God, I need to, like, stop looking at this porn on my phone.
And no, just... literally, I wipe up and go to sleep.
Hashtag TMI.
Hey, you brought it up.
You're right. Okay, fair enough. Anyways, Young Bucks and Bullet Club, They're splitting, possibly. They're trying to slow build a storyline to Chicago, possibly. I hope that's the case. Maybe CM Punk makes his appearance there. Who knows? I'm not sure. Typically, we do a random highlight, Brando, and I don't know how to feel about what happened because somebody who was highlighted randomly also got taken off the list now. They just left the list. And yeah, we put someone else on that list, and I don't know if we, like, add one more to that list and re-up, or we try to, like, jimmy through the... I don't know what to do. Because
we've already kind of discussed it, and that's the thing, is that the whole idea behind the random highlights is to not be prepared on who we're going to talk
correct
about, and just pull from the cuff, pull from our memories, pull from our matches. And we talked about Kevin Nash. He got selected this time. And, like, to put it in brief, you know, we talked about his career, we talked about his highs and some of his lows. First and foremost, my favorite match from him was Brett versus Brett at Survivor Series 95. It's an awesome match. He kind of turns heel at the end. Did you ever watch that match?
Probably at least once, but not that I can recall.
That was the first time on WWF television that somebody went through the announce table.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Brett goes through?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
He's on the apron, and Diesel goes and kind of pushes him, and he goes flying through and goes head first right in through.
Whoa.
And then, that was a high spot, like end spot of the match back then. It's like, yeah, match is over.
He's dead. He went through the announce table once.
So, Kev gets him back in the ring, and Kevin's going to finish him off with the powerbomb. You know, and then, you know, he's got him bent over, and then Brett just collapses, right? And Kev's looking around like, got this, man. And then he bends down to get him.
Small package?
Him. Small package. 1, 2, 3.
That's the best kind of victory and makes it so memorable when it's not a major finish, when it's not a sharpshooter or anything mm-hmm. like that. Having it just be a quick finish like that is shocking.
Well, then, like, Diesel got pissed off, got up, picked up Brett, powerbombed him.
Yep.
And then I want to say powerbombed him again.
Damn.
Yeah.
Nash is awesome. The Russian. Super Shredder. NWO. NWO Wolfpack.
Was he in Magic Mike?
He was in Magic Mike and Magic Mike XL. And also, he is a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
He was inducted. What, 2015?
I don't remember 14? What year. I honestly... No, fuck. I don't remember what year. 14 was Warrior, wasn't it?
Yeah, Warrior and Hall. And I think Nash was before that or after? Did Nash get in before Hall?
No, I think he went in the year after.
Okay.
So 16. No. 15. Or no,
that would be 15.
It was 15.
Huh.
Well,
then it's possible. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's possible that the NWO could be inducted into the Hall of Fame again.
One of these days. One of the three.
Who would... Only the three?
You're trying to boot this back up. You're trying to get this going.
Yes, I am. I'm doing a great job.
Hogan, Hall, and Nash, yeah.
Like Dudley Hogan or Hulk Hogan.
All right, so you went through the names. Like, well, that's going to piss off X-Pac and
it is
and Big Show.
It is
and Scott Norton it and is. Dudley Hogan. And I'm like, Horace Hogan? Yeah, he looks
he
like
looks
a
like
Dudley.
Dudley. He does. Fucking Dudley looking motherfucker. He was the worst. He was actually related to Hulk, right?
Yeah, it's like his nephew.
His real-life nephew, whose last name would be Balea?
Probably.
Weird. I love Kevin Nash. He's great. Finger poke of doom. Got to talk about it briefly. The strongest move in WCW history.
Yeah, destroyed the company. Buried it.
Finished the company in one poke.
Do you remember Luther Reigns?
Luther Reigns. Yes.
All right. He wrestled in WCW. I think this is him. Somebody, if this isn't him, please tell me. But he wrestled in WCW. He had like this flat top where his hair did this. And his name was Horseshoe.
Really? Horseshoe? That's awesome.
But it was spelled like H-O-R-S-H-U.
Horseshit?
No. H-O-R-S-H-U.
U.
Horseshoe.
Hugh. Hugh. Horseshoe.
Horseshoe.
Was he good wrestler?
No.
Okay, good. I'm glad to know. I just didn't know, man. What if we need to put him on the random highlight? Horseshoe going on there.
Oh, dude, that, and I remember this one dude, and he was like a military like gimmick, and his name was Cobra. And like his interest music was like Morse code, like beep 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 beep. It's like the intro to Jericho. It's like some dude sitting in the back, just like, and like he ended up becoming the fake Sting.
Fuck you, fake Sting.
And then I remember Sergeant Craig, the Pitbull Pitman.
What? Are these people real?
Yes.
You're just making this up.
No, dude, they're like fucking jobbers.
You're working me?
No, I'm not working you. They're like fucking jobbers in WCW. I remember El Dandy.
El Dandy, the Dandy.
Yeah. El Dandy. I remember
he was going to win World War III.
He totally was going to win World War III.
But it was just the cameras. We didn't see the other ring filled with competitors.
We're gonna fuck the sodomites in the morning.
Hopefully it keeps going.
Right.
The only other birth on my dad's side is my cousin Bryn, a chick. She's a girl. That's the only other cousin I have in terms of my grandpa's
line.
Wait,
did you just assume her gender?
She's a girl.
I saw the opportunity. I had to take it.
I get you. No,
well, let's hear something about Miranda, because
I'll tell about Miranda.
You talk about all this cool shit that Miranda does for you all the time, and you know, when you introduced me to Miranda, which wasn't that long ago, I told you, like, I think the second time, like, you need to marry this fucking girl.
Yeah,
because you are as difficult of a person to put up with as I am.
I can be. I'm
no very... See, right here is exactly what I'm saying. It's not that you can be, it's that you are. We are who we are. And she puts up with your shit. And that's not always a good thing, but in this case, it is a good thing because Miranda's a badass person.
Yes.
So shout out to you, Miranda. Shout out to my wife, Skylar. You're both badass people. And you're both super hot.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So I met Miranda at a point in my life. So, okay, a year ago, I was single.
Living in a van down by the river.
No.
Okay.
See that tube over there? That is literally a poster of Chris Farley, on a river with a van behind him.
Hell yeah!
It's amazing. It? No, that is mine. I can't wait to put. I can't wait to frame it. Anyway, so a year ago, I was single, for 2 days. I broke up with my then girlfriend 2 days before Valentine's Day.
Okay. Bold and, strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it played off.
And it's funny because it's funny. It's not funny. She's great and all. And, you know, it just didn't work out. It was one of those high school crushes. I finally got a chance with it. Like, it's not that I finally got a chance with it. It's just like it kind of just fell right into my lap, you know. And, like, I tried it out and, you know, it just didn't work. It didn't work. And I always joked around. I said, yep. I'm going to trade you in for a new model before Valentine's Day so I don't have to deal with Valentine's Day. Turns out 2 days before Valentine's Day, like, I just had enough and I had to end it. So I decided, and I wanted to end it, but I didn't want to end it before Valentine's Day because I didn't want to be a douchebag, but it just so happened to happen that way.
No.
And the reason I wanted to end it was because... Like, it just wasn't, I wasn't connecting to her.
If you're not feeling it, you're not feeling it.
I wasn't attracted to her. Not that she's unattractive, but I just wasn't attracted to her. We were not clicking. And on top of that, I wanted to focus on myself. I wanted to learn more. That's when I decided I wanted to learn more about mixing and producing music and whatnot. And I couldn't do any of that stuff because she demanded a lot of my time. Even when I was here, not with her,
right?
I had to be texting her constantly. I'm an introvert. When I'm at home, not in a social situation, I am an introvert.
I feel you.
When I am at home, I want to be left the fuck alone.
Yep.
And I could not get that. And it was draining the fuck out of me. It was stressing me the fuck out. And so I just ended it. So I spent the next, I met Miranda in September. This was February. From February to September, I was single.
Okay.
May I have tried to attempt some hookups? Yes. I was talking to someone. You know her.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to someone. She lives in Florida. And we talked very romantically. And that kind of kept me from pursuing anything here.
Okay.
Which, in turn, helped me stay single. It helped me.
Continue to explore yourself.
Yeah, it allowed me to explore who I was. It allowed me to have the fun I wanted to have. It allowed me to get the knowledge and learning and experience that I wanted to have. I mean, or at least as much as I could. And having that, because I was mentally getting that I'm with somebody,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't with somebody.
Right.
So I didn't feel tied down. And on top of that, I was still getting that, like, oh, I'm loved type feeling.
Right.
So when it came time, and I had kind of given up on Tinder and dating websites, but I still had them.
Right.
And I literally put on my Tinder description that, message me first, cause I'm tired of fucking messaging people and nobody messaging back or it just going nowhere. So go ahead and message me first. I'll respond. Nobody ever messaged me. Nobody messaged me.
Womp, womp.
And finally, I got to a point where I wasn't actually, I was doing like Tinder based off of looks.
You were doing the mass swipe right.
Yes. If you look cute, right, like on site, swipe right. If you didn't, bye. Yeah. So I matched with Miranda. I saw a cute picture. I swiped right. I matched with her, and before I could even get a chance to really like go check her out, check out more pictures, see what her profile says, she messages me.
And so it begins.
And so we talk very briefly, and she adds me on Snapchat because I have my Snapchat in my description as well.
Okay.
So we talk very briefly on there, and like I'm not really going for it, but I'm not opposed to it. I'm being casual, but also in my head I'm like, well, I have plans with this person down in Florida. She's coming up here. I don't want to ruin that plan because that's something that I want to experience, and because she used to live up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I never got that. I had always had feelings for her, and so here she was coming back up here to visit me. And I could finally maybe get some closure on that whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of like just kind of aloof with Miranda. And finally, like a week or two later, I just like, fuck it, I'll start talking to her more. So I started talking to her. And then like that Friday, I was like, yeah, I'm not really doing anything tonight. I might go out to the bar. I don't know. And then she said, oh, well, I'm going to go to the vault. And I was literally watching Wonder Woman. it had just come out on DVD or whatever. And I was watching Wonder Woman. And I was like, and she said, she was like, yeah, I'm going to the vault with my friend. I'm like, I had just gotten a pizza. I just started eating it. And I just like closed the box, turned off Wonder Woman, and went down to the vault. And I went down there. I didn't know if she was there already or not. So I'm friends with a lot of the bartenders down there.
So every time I've been to the vault with you, we've ran into a shit ton of people that we both know.
Oh, yeah. So I just go to the bar and I start talking to the bartenders. They're my friends. Whatever. Meanwhile, and then I see Miranda post a Snapchat story that from the vault, and I'm like, I snapped her. I was like, I see me in the background, and
creepy as fuck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, she knew I was coming.
Hey, I'm lurking over here.
She knew I was coming, and I knew she was gonna be there. It's not that creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy.
So I go down, or I go over to the sidebar, kind of, you know, because meanwhile, like, I'm scoping out the whole area trying to find this girl. Like, yeah, so I go over, talk to more people over there, and finally I notice her, and I so after a while of being there, I finally just walk over, and I'm like, hey, I introduce myself, and yeah, and then she's like,
hey, I'm Blaine.
Yeah, so I talk a little bit there, and then I go, and they're like, oh, hey, we're gonna go to the end zone. I'm like, oh,
mother of God.
Well, I'm just gonna chill here, and then I start thinking, I'm like, you know what? The end zone's not far from my house. If anything, like, I'll go there. I'll hang out a little bit. If I'm not feeling it, I'll just go home. So I go there. I really wasn't feeling it. I really wasn't feeling Miranda.
The end zone's kind of weird because it's either really a really, really good time or it's a really, really shitty time. Every time I've been in the last couple years, if you stay at the bar, it's not a bad time. If you go anywhere else, it's miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really feeling Miranda.
I wasn't feeling her. I wasn't even really feeling her friend. But her friend seemed a lot sluttier, and I was like, well, if anything, I could at least take her friend home.
Right.
And then, so Miranda's over there, or like, dancing with a bunch of people, friends and stuff that she knew, and then she eventually just comes over to me. She's like, because she felt bad that she basically told me to, or asked me to come there and hang out.
And
she
wasn't. Were you sitting at the bar moping?
No, I wasn't moping. I was just hanging out, right, and trying to decide if I was ready to leave or not.
But if I walked in as a stranger and just, like, scoped the bar and looked at you, would you have been a guy that I said is moping?
No, I was mostly just hanging out on my phone, trying to decide if I was going to go home or not.
Yeah, I'm moping.
It wasn't really like a loss for me. I was like, besides, like, I could just go back down to the vault and maybe my friends will be there.
Right.
Or I could go home and continue watching Wonder Woman. I don't know. It was whatever. But so I stayed, and she ended up talking to me, and we somehow ended up connecting over a Good Charlotte.
Okay.
She mentioned that she liked Good Charlotte, and I was like, I fucking love Good Charlotte. Like, that used to be, like, one of my favorite bands. And she's like, it's my favorite band. And she requested a song, and they played it, and we just kept talking a little bit. Like,
did you dance the night away?
No. She wanted to, but she ended up, like, she drank, like, a lot of shots, and she ended up getting, like, really drunk.
So she got wasty pants.
She got pretty wasted, and, like, I couldn't tell. She was keeping it together pretty well, but I eventually got to a point where I could tell she was kind of drunk, and I'm like, where do you live? She's like, oh, I live here in this town that's 30 minutes away. I'm like, okay, I don't normally do this. I mean nothing by
it. I am so not a raper.
And I said, I mean nothing by this. Like, I'm not trying to come on to you or anything, but you were really drunk. And I live 5 minutes away. I think it'd be a good idea if you just came home with me. I'm not going to do anything. Nothing's going to happen. I just want to make sure you're safe. So she's like, okay. So we came back here. We got in my bed. She's like, went down to her underwear. She's like, I'm going to be comfortable. I hope you don't mind. I'm like, I don't care. I'm like, I'm a guy. You're a girl. I don't give a shit. You can be in your undies, whatever. So I pull up Deadpool. I just throw on Deadpool because she said she liked Deadpool. I'm like, fuck it, we'll watch Deadpool. And she ends up in this position, like, all night, like, just hunched over because she is, like, miserable. She's like, I took too many shots. I'm like,
good luck.
Fighting that bug off on vinyl real bad right now.
Yeah.
Trust me. I'm feeling it, man. I get the itch. I've got 10 Iced Earth records already.
Yeah.
Okay. And now, five of those, Did he get fired? Yeah. Okay. So stop. Shut up. Okay. Okay. Stormrider, Burnt, Dark, Days, Horror. I got those five all at once, half price.
Right.
For all of them. You can't beat that.
No, 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 no.
Tax time, Taxmas. I got one more. Actually, three more. Shut up. And then I got one of the other ones because I already had it, but it was the Record Store Day variant, which is numbered, and I got a regular version that I can just play. And so now I've got like 10 of, I got 10 of the records, and it, like, I amassed it very quickly. And like, I want to get them all.
Right.
And one of them is going to be like $100.
Yeah.
Now, I go to the, I'm going to their concert next week, 1 week from today. As this episode drops, you're watching this today, I'm at that show getting like a raging nerd boner by watching my favorite band, okay?
Yes.
And I'm going to, I got VIP pass. I'm going to meet these guys again. I've met some of these guys already. I'm going to shake John's hand and I'm going to say, are there any plans? Is there any way for these three SPV label records to get reprinted for cheaper so I don't have to spend like $160, $70, $80 to get them?
Yeah.
And he's going to look at me and say, I don't know. And I know it's what he's going to say. And I'm just like, because, I mean,
he doesn't really have control over that.
No, but he can. It's all about demand.
Right.
And Century Media are the ones that re-released the stuff that they own from like the 90s. Like the stuff that I said I just bought for half price.
Yeah.
They did that. He didn't do that.
Right.
He doesn't. He actually, for the first six albums, he owns none of that music.
Right.
Which is bullshit. He doesn't own any publishing rights to that whatsoever. And it's all about the deal that he signed when he first got signed, and they were nobodies. You know, it's like he signed his soul to the devil, and the devil says, I shall take. And he goes, later on, he's like, man, that's a bad deal. You know, but I mean, it is what it is. You learn and you grow. But so, like, I got some more vinyl in. I got my player since last time that I've been on the air. I got my speakers. I got my monitors. I love it. It's awesome. I've actually, like, when I have, I actually just told you off air, I haven't had a lot of time to play games.
Right.
But I've been sneaking to the back to just put some of these records on to see how they're playing, because I've got one record so far that I bought brand new that is not in the greatest shape brand new.
Right.
Because there's stuff on it. I need to try and find a way to clean it. But every other single one has been flawlessly, and I'll tell you this story.
Okay.
Okay. So, in the fall, my mom bought me some records. We went to Cover Bridge Festival here in local. This dude had some records. And I went through and I found the Top Gun soundtrack.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I'm buying this.
Right.
Because they were listed as like, man, a couple bucks. Pretty cheap. And then he had a couple boxes that were not a couple dollars. He went up in price. And I found a couple. And I was thinking about getting one and then the Top Gun one. And I had two in my hands. I had Rush 2112.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes, right.
That is a must.
Right. And the other one I had, Deep Purple Machine Head.
Ooh.
Which has Highway Star.
Yep.
Smoke on the Water. You know, some of the greatest rock tunes ever. And I'm looking at both of them and I'm just like, and really for anybody, like really like big Rush fan, it wouldn't be an issue. But for me, I love both of them. And I love Rush maybe a little bit more, but at the same time, like, I want both of them. And I was, like, leaning towards the Rush. And my mom just says, I'll pay for them. Here, get them.
Yep, here you go.
And I'm like, thank you.
Here you go.
So, all right. So, I got my player set up. And, of course, I'm a huge Metallica fan. They're my first big heavy band I got into. When you're formative and you're trying to find the music that says, this is me. You know, like whatever genre of music that is for you. I love how this is a game cast and we're just talking about music, but that's what I'm into right now. whatever it is, you for some people you feel it. You just bam, this is my music. This is my jam.
Yep.
This is where I'm supposed to be.
Zeppelin
and Metallica was that for me. First time I heard and associated the noise with Metallica, it was like, yes. And so I played the Metallica record first. And then I'm going through and I'm putting this one on. I'm trying this one. And then I'm like, all I'm playing are brand newer ones. And I'm like, let me try that one of the old ones I have. And I got a Goodwill find. This was a stupid Goodwill for like a buck. The Ghostbuster soundtrack is ruined. I tried playing it and it was like, yeah, this ain't working.
But it's only a buck. So
I mean, it was a novelty thing to go in my game room.
Right.
And it was scratched to hell. But I mean, it was just a cool thing to find. So, of course, at some point, I'm going to have to rebuy the Ghostbusters soundtrack so have the...
Yeah.
Anyway, throw on Deep Purple. And what's funny is that I actually turned it on the wrong side. I was actually going to start on side A, then listen to Highway Star.
Yeah.
First song on side B is Smoke on the Water.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I put it on the wrong one until the music started. And there's something different about the older record. I wasn't high. I wasn't drunk. I was right there sitting right like where I put the turntable in the game room. I moved the Xbox light and all that stuff to the other side of the room.
Okay.
So now the where all that is just my record player and my speakers. And it was just like I was sitting on the arm of that futon and the and I was in the room with them for a second. I was like, it was weird. It was like this weird psychokinetic feeling.
Right.
You know, people say, dude, vinyl, there's something different about it. When you hear it and it's clear and you're like, you got like a good sound, it's got a warmth to it. It sounds more natural. And it was like, I don't know if it was the way it was recorded back then. And the fact that I know that the album was recorded like in like a hotel room type of vibe, but it sounded like the amplifier was like right there in front of me. And then like the drums, and it was just like, I was in the room with them. It was crazy weird. If I would have been high, it would have been a trip.
Right.
But I'm just sitting there going, and I was lost. I was just completely like enamored with it for like a good 30 seconds until the song, because when the song starts ramping up and everything. But it was just like, I haven't felt that yet with the other ones. And I think that is maybe because they're just newer and this newer recording styles.
Is the Rush an older one?
Yes, but I haven't played it yet.
You definitely should try the Rush.
I'm going to.
Make sure you go through the first side.
Well, of course. First side's all 2112.
It's
of course.
The rest of it doesn't matter. The first side is one song.
Oh, dude. So, like, as I said, like, my collecting vinyl is going to be different from games.
Right.
Damn it.
So he says.
It will
so
be.
He says
it
live.
It has to be.
Today.
It has to be because I don't have the room.
Yeah.
Okay. I've already said from the get-go, Metallica and Iced Earth, I'm getting their catalog. Everything right. else is going to be artist or album. What is important to me? What do I like?
Right.
And it like, for example, name a rock band out of a hat, Disturbed. What albums would I buy from Disturbed?
Sickness. Believe.
And that's where we are. We're
I would go as a Sickness too, but
like first off, a Sickness. I would go Sickness. I would skip Believe. Unless I got a deal on it. And then I would go 10,000 Fists. I would skip Indestructible and go to Asylum. I don't hate Believe, but I don't love it like I love the other ones. When I listened to like all their discography, I went from song one to end. For them, it was really like, love this record. This record's all right. Love this one. This one's all right. Love this one. And that last one was all right. It's like peaks and valleys with me with Disturbed. And then with Linkin Park, I got Hybrid Theory, so I'm gonna get Reanimation, and then I'm gonna get Meteora, and then after that, I'm probably not gonna get any
more. That's where I'm at too.
You know?
I would get the first three.
Yeah, and then I'm thinking what albums like that I wouldn't even think of right now. Like in my current mindset, like what albums are important to me?
right there on your shirt. Pantera.
You know how I said I would like. They only have five records, and they're all about $20. I'm getting all the Pantera records.
Oh, yeah.
But like, when I think about the albums of what shaped my interest in music, because like I always listen to what my mom and dad listened to, or what was on pop or anything like that.
Right.
Or maybe, you know, there was a point in the mid-90s where rap was really big, so I listened a little bit of the rap, you know. But one album, and again, I want to say this, that I'm not really big on the artist and a lot of the other things that he has done, but this one record is important to my history in music.
And that is?
Devil Without a Cause, Kid Rock.
I'm going platinum.
Yeah. Exactly, dude.
Yes, that's a good album.
That album to me is almost what like shifted my interest towards rock, like modern rock.
I can see that.
Because there was a couple of, I didn't really get into bands. I wasn't into, it was, I was kind of like a floater. I like this song or I like this song. I was a songs person. And it wasn't until I got that album that I just put it in my player and let it go that, wow, you know, I got his next record right after that, which was like a rehash of like some of the older stuff
yeah.
that kind of got forgotten. History of Rock is what, anyway, yeah. that's kind of funny. But, so I got that and was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm not really feeling this as much as the other one, but that one was just like important.
Yes.
And then I'm going, like when I said to like Megadeth, I like some Megadeth. I got 2 Megadeth records and I'm probably going to get like 2 or 3 more.
Right.
Out of their whole catalog. And that's it. Because do I like Cryptic Writings? Sure. But do I want to pay $20 to $30 for it? No.
See, mine, I'd be hurting. I'd be hurting for certain.
Well, and that's just it. Is that like,
mine would be the Zeppelin.
Well, of course. And what's awesome is that classic bands, and big bands like Zeppelin and Metallica and AC/DC and the Stones and Beatles, they get reprinted more often than not.
Ugh. Sorry, you said the Beatles. I hate them, but I respect the shit out of them for what they did for rock.
Dude,
I really do. I think they're fantastic.
I'm not a huge
Beatles
fan either, but I can listen to some of their music, especially like when they went into their like tripping on acid phase.
Nope.
When they went into their tripping on acid phase, some of their stuff is really, really interesting to listen to. But
somebody's
right.
shaking their fist at me, yelling, "You hate the Beatles!" Hey, you know
I'm
what?
I'm looking up Led Zeppelin vinyl.
I don't hate them. I don't like their music at all. Like I don't. But they did a lot. Just like the Stones did a lot for rock. But I'm a Zeppelin fan.
I get you. No, don't. I just looked up Led Zeppelin, and I'm looking up vinyl. Led Zeppelin 4, remastered original vinyl. Guess how much?
$20.
$21.93. Led Zeppelin 1, $23.99. 2, $22.97.
Yeah,
Mothership is $46.96.
I was gonna say,
that's
that
a 4 LP.
Yes,
and then 3 is $22. So, I mean,
they're not bad.
No,
but that's for rehashing. Like, I would really,
you want the original,
really,
original?
Really like the Stairway to Heaven single.
You're listening to the Voice of Survival podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Your host, Nate Phillips.
And I'm curious, did you see Never Sleep Again? It's the 4-hour Freddy Krueger documentary on Netflix that recounts every single movie and all the behind the scenes stuff.
Parts of it.
Oh, it's so good. It's so long because, like I said, it's 4 hours long.
Yeah.
But it's so worth
it. I'll have to put it on while I'm painting or something.
There you go. Hey, that's actually a great question. Do you mainly just like have something like a TV on in the background when you're creating your art, or do you listen to music, or what kind of music do you listen to when you're creating, if that's a thing?
I do both. I'll put movies on, or I'll get stuck on a show and I'll just let it play. Or some days I want to bounce around the house and paint, and I'll listen to music. I listen to a lot of hip-hop, like Atmosphere and Gorillaz.
Awesome, love the Gorillaz.
Other kinds of stuff like that. I don't know if you know who Atmosphere is, but they're
I
awesome.
I feel
like
I know one song that Atmosphere did that my buddy was really into back in the day.
Their music is really good if you want to check out another band. I really, like, they have a lot of good stuff to say. But I listen to a lot of dubstep. I listen to a lot of, like, obscure stuff, like Soul Coughing, or I'll listen to David Byrne sometimes. I like stuff with a beat, usually, if I'm trying to paint, because it needs to be kind of upbeat. And
gives you the energy.
I'll just go to sleep.
Yeah, totally. But it just like pulses you with that energy to create. And I just want to say, like, looking at some of your art on your artist page, you do amazing work. You did the recreation of the 66 era, or like the old school comic era Batman on the typewriter recently. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's fantastic. And then you in the keys put finger. I love that little Easter egg. Like,
it actually says Bill in there too. If you look from the bottom to the top, it says B-I-L.
Oh,
so I put his full name. Clever.
That's clever. You're so clever. That's great. So we haven't really got into the other part of this interview that's really interesting to me, and really the meat and potatoes of what I want to talk about, because I want to know what the whirlwind has been like for you after the documentary has come out, and what this last year has been like, and maybe describe some of these crazy moments, like getting interviewed by Kevin Smith and going to premieres and stuff. What has that all been like for you?
It's been pretty wild. I mean, like we had said before, my regular life is pretty regular. I mean, I teach at a college and I grade papers and I come home and I cook dinner and I took care of my son forever, of course.
And still are.
Of course. I mean, have to. That won't end until I die. But anyway, so, I mean, then I had this whole other world come in, like, I'm quote unquote a celebrity, but I'm not a celebrity because I'm not, you know, you think big name people when you say celebrity, but in the comic world, I kind of am. And I had to adjust to that because it's weird. It's like, I'm just a simple person. I teach math and I have my friends and I do normal stuff, but I also represent this really huge thing. And it's like, wow, like, I have to adjust to being in that spotlight, which is not always the most comfortable place to be. So it's been pretty wild. I mean, obviously it gets easier as the years go on, but
doing cons still, and stuff.
Yeah. But it's still like when people ask me to sign things, it still is like, why do you want my signature? Oh yeah. You know, it's like, it's still kind of a foreign thing because it's not really who I am.
But it's something that you're becoming. You've become like the bat signal, Athena.
I have. And I fully embrace it. I mean, the fans are awesome. They are brave enough to reach out to me, and I respond to every single person who gets in touch with me. I think it's awesome that people feel comfortable to say, hey, I just appreciate everything. You know, I think it's awesome. I don't shy away from that because, like you said, I kind of am a beacon. They can't talk to Bill directly, can't go visit a place where his ashes are. I'm the next best thing. So I really honor that. And I respect the fans for that.
It's got to be kind of weird too, because you are the heir of Batman now. You have changed the course of history. You have to think, 76 years your grandfather went without credit to this character, and through Mark's hard work and your hard work and your ability to just say, like, I can't stop until this injustice has been righted. It's changed history now. You know, never do you hear of somebody getting their name put on a co-created or a byline way after the fact, because it always gets wrapped up in the legal stuff, you know?
It does. And I feel very fortunate that we were able to. But again, timing played a huge role in that, like I had said before.
Sometimes it's all about being in the right place at the right time, you know?
Yeah.
So you haven't had any like crazy fan experiences. People aren't asking you to like sign their babies or anything, right?
Oh no, nothing like that.
So it's pretty tame in that regard.
Oh no, people are extremely respectful. They really are.
Well, that's great. I mean, you know, in this wild west world that we live in now, it is so hard to be trustworthy to people that are just coming up to you because they know your story and don't really know you as a person, or are trying to connect, and you're just like, hi, what's up?
But you know what? I'm in general, I'm just a really friendly person. I mean, if you talk to any of my former students, I mean, I try to just have a good time in general. I mean, we use a lot of laughter in the classroom, where we get into it in the classroom. We get personal. We get, you know, it's part of who I am. I'm not one to really shy away from people.
You seem like a beacon of light as well, like very positive and uplifting through everything you've endured, which is, you know, kind of what this show is all about, like going through some craziness and coming out on the other side and being okay. And not only being okay, you've redefined this legacy, as I was saying earlier. You've totally redefined your own legacy now because you're a torchbearer that gets to experience all these crazy things. What are some of these, like, okay, you've been to a lot of these different events and been to screeners and seen premieres and whatnot. Have you had anybody in the industry come up to you that just, like, blew you away that they were aware of who you were based on all this stuff that's gone on?
Not blown away that they knew who I was, but when the Green Lantern movie came out, I went out to LA for the premiere.
I think that was 2011.
Yes.
Okay.
And I was at the after party and I was introducing myself to Angela Bassett. And when I said who I was, you know, granddaughter of Bill Finger, the co-creator of Green Lantern, she goes, "You mean from the 40s? And I go, "You know what I'm talking about?" She's like, "Yeah, you're talking about the writer from the 40s. And I'm like, "Yeah." And she gave me a huge hug and introduced me to our whole entourage. There must have been like 20 people with her.
Whoa.
And she's like, "This is, you know, the granddaughter and da da da. This is all these people." And I'm like, "Oh my God." I was like shocked. I didn't even really get past her saying, "You mean the one from the 40s. Like, I was blown away by that. She did her homework. She knew what she was talking about. I was like, "Thank you. Wow, what an amazing experience that this person actually knows what I'm talking about." Because for the Batman ones, only a few people knew.
It's
not like this. I don't know. People don't take the time, I guess.
So really. It had to be vindicating for you because that's probably, you know, 2011, that's before the documentary comes out. So at this point, this is one of the first times where you felt vilified and recognized that your grandfather was getting some recognition from someone. I mean, your whole life you had spent like trying to tell people what an amazing person he was and all these cool things he accomplished and no one really getting the importance of it. And then now, this is more of the tide turning to what's hip now and what you've been up to now. I'm sure the experience with Kevin Smith on his podcast was a blast. You went to the Fat Cave?
It was, yes.
Oh, amazing.
It's kind of a funny story. I was chasing him down for several years. For 3 years, in fact, I was chasing him down to be on his show. And it, for whatever reason, it took that long, but it was such a delight to finally connect with him.
It's time for Brews with Dudes. Ah, juicy.
I love me some hops.
Yeah, I know.
I really love me some hops.
I don't know what this next one is, but I'm guessing it's Starburst.
Starburst it is.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Oh, yeah, that's Starburst.
I like the color.
Yes, this one's going to be a touch more caramel in color. This isn't a classic New England IPA. It's going to be not quite as hazy as a New England typically would be.
In fact, the other one was definitely a little hazier.
Yeah, and then when we go on to the Crystal Vision, the fourth and final one of this little drink session, we'll see quite a bit more haze in that one. So that haze comes from the utilization of oatmeal and corn, and then part of that is also some yeast and suspension that happens during the dry hopping process. Hmm. So it's all there intentionally, of course. But Starburst is our standard house IPA. So actually, the Pixel Bomb Starburst and Crystal Vision will all be beers that are available year-round. Anybody can get these at any of their liquor stores, bars, or restaurants. If they're not there already, all they've got to do is ask. Our distributor can, we have statewide distribution with all of our products. So, of course they can reach out to you because, you can get a hold of me and I'll make sure they get the beer that they want. So
you literally just have to ask. I just said, can you bring beer to Lafayette? He said, yes, I can bring beer to Lafayette.
That's right.
And here we are. So.
And here we are. Yeah, absolutely.
So why did this one make, why is this like your standard, the house? Was there any reasoning or?
Yeah. So, when we started out, I guess a little bit of background on the brewery, our brewery is located on a very old, very large family farm. But the Simmons family, the guys that own the company, they've been farming it for seven generations now. So when we started the brewery, we started out as just a little brew pub. We had a small little brewery system, and it just created enough beer for us to sell on site in our restaurants. We do brick oven pizza and some cool wings and other things like that in the restaurant. So our beers were always, they've always been very, very good, but also very, very basic. So we had an amber ale, and we had a honey kolsch, and we had a Belgian winter ale, things like that that were excellent beers. But as we started growing in this market and busting into these New England styles and these beers that aren't just good, but they're noteworthy. They're good and unique and special, and people from all over the country are flocking to our doors right now to pick up some of these beers and just get the opportunity to taste it. So we wanted our basic lineup to kind of reflect what we're doing that people are so adamant about and picking up our beers. So that's why you have these beers more similar to that New England style, to kind of more align with where we are as a brewery right now.
I feel like you guys are really, really killing it with all the, I don't even want to say IPAs, like double IPAs and triple IPAs, because like we touched on, we started coming up. I'm trying to think of the first beer that made us go, we need to drive up there. It was one of the Nugget releases.
Yeah, Nugget series has been huge for us, for sure.
How many, you probably know the list better than I do. So you had the Fruity Nuggets.
The Fruity Nuggets, Juicy Nuggets, Citra Nuggets, then we've got the Rainbow Series. We've had Citra and Simcoe Rainbows. We've had so many Nuggets that I honestly have forgotten.
Yeah.
I've forgotten a good handful of them for sure.
There's the Coco. There's the Super Nugget Bros. That was like the Super Mario.
Yep, Super Nugget
one.
Brothers. Yep.
You just did the Powdered Nugs. I really like the Powdered Nuggets. Those ones were really good.
Yep,
that might have been it.
Powdered Nuggets, yep.
It might have been Powdered and Gold. I think those were at the same time.
The Gold
time.
Was awesome.
The
that
Gold
was
really good,
triple
too.
Triple IPA. Well,
yeah.
Probably one of my favorites that we've ever done, the Gold. And then a couple weeks ago, we did the Silver Nuggets. Just yesterday, we released the, the Foggy Nuggets came out yesterday. And
yep.
Then also the Fresh Fruit, which is our Milkshake Series IPA. This is the pineapple Fresh Fruit that came out yesterday.
Yeah, and for some of our listeners, they don't get to see is the coolness of your guys' cans. Like, I was actually picking up Starburst today, and I was bringing in some of the beer from my house, and the dude giving my Starbucks was like, what is that? So I had, like, a beer conversation at Starbucks, and he just instantly saw the Fresh Fruit and some of those and just looked at the cans, and those immediately stand out.
Yeah, and, the beer market is inundated with craft beer from all over the country right now, and in varying degrees of goodness, I guess you could say. But part of the name of that game is when you're looking at a shelf with 300 or 3,000 beers on it, your eyes eat first. So if you've
Absolutely.
Got a can that looks totally kick ass, that may or may not be the one that they end up buying, but at least it's going to be given a second glance. And so that's part of it. So we work with Kodo Designs out of Indianapolis, who's kind of a marketing firm. Cody over there does all of our graphic work for us for everything that we do, and he's just amazing. So we've developed an excellent relationship with him. We can call him up anytime and give him just the most random of ideas. And within what seems like hours, he's got it. He's emailing us drafts to look at it, and he does such an amazing job of being able to take our weird, cocky, creative ideas and put them into a computer and make them look exactly like we wanted to. So, our cans are definitely a representation of kind of who we are and what we do as a brewery. It's always funky and fresh.
You could just regrow them. Except you'd probably die without your organs. Maybe that's the problem.
That's probably
there's a momentary...
to, like, liquefy them first and then regrow them.
But what are you going to do in the meantime?
Exactly.
I just answered that my own question. I need to regrow my heart. Well, we don't even have one to beat anymore, so... A random thing that cracked me up is Dumbledore's hot chocolate throughout this book. Like, I feel like he's always on his fucking way to get a cup of hot chocolate.
I don't blame him. Hot chocolate's life.
Right? After reading Dumbledore drinks hot chocolate, I'm like, I could drink some hot chocolate right now. So I did. Oh, gosh. So, I believe it's Colin who goes into the hospital wing when Harry's in there, right? Like, he's the next person to get petrified.
Yeah.
But I just had this, like, sinking feeling when I read this one part of the book that Harry's watching McGonagall's face. You know, they think he's asleep, and she just has this look of dread. You know, she has no idea what's going on. And it reads, "And from what Harry could see of Professor McGonagall's shadowy face, she didn't understand this any better than he did." How fucking horrifying is that? Because you know that McGonagall and Dumbledore, everyone's such a badass at Hogwarts. And they're totally fucking lost on what's going on. Like, that has to be not reassuring whatsoever.
And especially her, like, she always seems so composed and stuff, you know? Yeah, yeah, I think her especially, it would terrify me.
Yeah, to see someone like McGonagall to have that distressed look. Because that bitch isn't afraid of anything. Like, fuck, I probably would have just looked at her face and just shit myself right there, been horrified. No, probably not. If losing the bones didn't make you poop yourself, that's not going to. I have imagined so many times after reading that, like, picking up my arm and it just flopping around, and, dude, I would vomit. That is disgusting.
I would probably pass out.
Yeah. Oh, how does that feel? Tissue on tissue, you know? Oh, okay, moving on. I don't want to think about this.
Okay, moving on. I believe... Okay, so what exactly was the plan with the Polyjuice Potion? Because, like, they wanted to somehow get Malfoy to confess, right? But, like, what was their plan? Change into Crabbe and Goyle, go get a confession out of Malfoy, but then what? Were they going to go to, like, Dumbledore and be like, oh, so here's the story. We illegally obtained information by using a potion we're not supposed to be using, and we're 12, so you should take us seriously, because... of all this stuff. Like, how... You can't go in with that sort of plan and just, like... So this is what we did. Because, obviously, you can't... Like, how... What were you guys hoping to gain out of this? Because I don't see, like, that would have went very well. If it would have worked. And he would have been like, yeah, I'm the heir of Slytherin. And then they would have been like, we figured it out. Oh, how'd you figure it out? We can't tell you!
Yeah, and even at that, where's the proof? That's word of mouth. Like...
Exactly.
He could just be like, I didn't say that, and like, it wouldn't be valid. Like,
a recorder or something, too.
Yeah. But they didn't do that. I didn't hear mention of that.
They don't think through their plans, apparently.
No. It's not like it worked anyway, but yeah, where they just, Draco's the heir, we stole some ingredients from Snape, and we made this Polyjuice potion, and here you go.
Okay.
Yeah, but I guess they're 12. They're not thinking this through.
But I feel like Hermione should have had a plan.
Yeah, I mean, if she could figure out the whole, like, potion thing, and when in the last book, she should be able to figure that out.
Yeah.
The bitch made the potion. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
Okay. So I'm going to totally butcher this. I have never actually pronounced it right. But it's the Hogwarts slogan, almost.
Oh, good luck with that.
Yeah. If you have seen it, then you know what I'm trying to say. And if you haven't, then you're just going to be lost for a few minutes here. But there's so, like, that, I think that means don't tickle the sleeping dragon or don't poke the sleeping dragon or something. And
continue.
Yeah. But gosh, what did he say? I put it down as page 186, but I keep finding the sleeping dragon references, and I don't know why I think it's funny. Like, what is up with these sleeping dragon things? Absolutely everything we're going to refer to as sleeping dragon.
Not on my page 186, that's for damn sure.
Oh, no. Yeah, our pages are totally off. Oh, my God. Come on. Every time you're trying to find something in a book that you just read, you can never do it. Ever.
Luckily, we write down our handy-dandy page...
numbers, yeah.
Numbers.
Otherwise, we'd be fucked. Okay. Deliberately causing mayhem in Snape's potions class was about as safe as poking a sleeping dragon in the eye.
That does sound quite dangerous.
Right? And man, I don't think I'd ever want to do that. But why are there so many people trying to do stupid shit with sleeping dragons? Like, why does the saying have to do anything with the sleeping dragon? We're just going to refer to him. Because people want to tickle and poke him in the eye. Not my first reaction when I would see a dragon. If I saw a dragon.
I don't know what my first reaction would be if I saw a dragon, I'm not gonna lie.
I'd probably shit myself. I'd probably just...
you tend to be doing that a lot tonight.
Everything. Just shit myself. So scared, I just need depends. That's a great... I just thought about this. Can you imagine, like, there, how many people pee themselves when they're scared? And if they're horrified of, you know, scary movers or something... You can have special adult diapers for being scared. It's not because you're old. It's because you're scared. That is a horrible idea. I should never have come up with that. Ever. Absolutely awful. So, I have never asked this of you. I don't know if we have the same artwork in our books on each chapter. I'm assuming they're all the same, but I've never asked.
I assume we don't.
Because, oh no! Well, I'm about to show you, and, well, if you have the...
For those of you American... who can't see what I did, I just showed her that I do not have any artwork.
Yes. Well, I do. I'm going to try to show it to you here. You can probably Google it, but the artwork for the Polyjuice Potion chapter is super fucking creepy. Like, my God, it looks like his eyeballs are about to bust out of his skull. It is horrifying.
I'm going to have to go Google a better picture of that after.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, mine doesn't have any pictures. I have the first edition of the Canada version, so maybe that was pre-picture.
Maybe. Man. Yeah, I never knew if all of them had the artwork or not, because I normally love them, but I turned to that one, and I was actually eating sushi when I was reading this. I was like, ugh, I lost my appetite. God. So, a very important character that comes up in this is Fox, the most beautiful phoenix ever.
Yes, and oh my really God. I really want one so bad.
My husband did get me that, the Nobles collection, is that what it is? And it, yeah, it's the Phoenix.
It sounds pretty. You'll have to show me later.
I will have to show you later, but it's on a metal stand.
Oh.
Oh, it's so pretty. I'm dropping fucking shit again.
Phoenixes are my, phoenixes? What's the plural of a phoenix?
I don't know. We speak English and nothing makes sense.
Phoenixes are one of my top mythological creatures of all time. So Fox is just my favorite. Well, aside from the Thestrals, but...
Oh my gosh, yes. We're going to have a whole spiel about that when we do Order of the Phoenix, because I am... Oh. I love them.